morning, everyone. Today's daf in time is daf chaf ches one chaf zayim and base. We thank the Lutheran Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of the morning was Zechanish Mefloos of Zaltzman. Fourth parak of Tanis is what we're right in the middle of doing. We are day three now of the fourth parak. The parak is dedicated to the topic of duchening, but mostly fasting. And fasting on the Mishnah is a little bit everywhere, but the main topic of the Mishnah is fasting on the Shivas of Batamas and on Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah doesn't make mention of the other two fasts, some Vidalia and the Sarbatavis, but the Mishnah focuses on the five things that occurred on each of the days on 17th day of Tammuz and on the 9th day of Av. Before that, though, the Mishnah did point out this process called the Ma'amados. The Mishnah got onto the topic of Ma'amados and discussed it where the Jewish representation of the Karban, meaning Kohanim and Levim are actually doing the Avoda and Yisrael are doing what? They're the owners of the Karban. What are they doing? So a contingency of them is in Yerushalayim, helping out the Levim and the Kohanim, and then a contingency are staying home, but they are doing what's called Ma'amados. Ma'amados is basically where they go to, they get together collectively in their communities. They fast Monday through Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and they have extra davenings. Extra davenings during Shacharis and Mincha, and we'll discuss later today whether it's also going to be true by Musaf and Ne'ilah as well. And then the Mishnah went on to discuss there are certain times where the extra davenings are going to get suspended, and we're going to talk about that later this morning. Okay, we find ourselves on Chavzayin Amud Beis. We're right in the middle of the Amud, and we are Tanur Rabbanan. Okay, Anshe Mishmar. Okay, first wide line on the Amud. Anshe Mishmar, you install Makabran Achem, she's Kabbal Beratzon. So the Anshe Mishmar would daven over the carbon of their brothers so that it would be accepted. Anshe Maimon, Misconsulon, Beis HaKnesses. And the Anshe Maimon would gather together on their shoals, the Yosh and Dalet Taniyos, and they fast four fasts, which is Sheni B'Shabbat Shusha B'Revi V'Chamishi, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, V'Sheni Al Yorde Hayam. Now the fasts are corresponding to what? So the Bryce over here goes on to explain that each of the fasts that are occurring in the city of the Ma'amados is going to correspond to a particular group. On Monday, they fast because of Yorde Yam, those who are going out into the ocean. What is the significance of Monday in the ocean? So take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, "Dechsev b'sheni yihirak yibes alchamayim b'tzarek laskir olarosan aladavar," because we know that what happens basically on Monday on day one is a division between the lower waters and the upper waters. So that is so anyone who's going out to the ocean is certainly appreciative of that division between the upper waters and the lower waters. Certainly you don't want the two coming back together again. So that's the fast on Monday. B'shlishi ahochei midbariyos. And then on Tuesday, a fast is for those people who are traveling through the desert. And again, what's the significance of Tuesday in the desert? So again, look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Dichtiv asera hayavasha," because that's when the land was exposed on Tuesday of Maaseh Bereishis. So therefore, the land being exposed, so we're going to prepare on behalf of those walking the land. B'revi al askara shaloti polati milkes. And on Wednesday, the fast that was done by the Ma'amados was for children that they don't get some sort of asphyxiation. Take a look at Rashi. What is askara? Askara is basically a constriction of the pipes, of the windpipe. What does that have to do with Wednesday? Shabonivu hama'arus uksiv day, himarus ma'arus uksiv. Because on Wednesday, all the celestial bodies were hanged, if you will, were placed in their proper position on Wednesday of Maaseh Bereishis. And the assumption is that the word ma'oros is the same as me'ira, which is basically a curse. So on one hand, it's obviously great to have luminaries. On the other hand, it also provides a curse. So the Gemara elsewhere talks about how when there is an eclipse, a solar eclipse, a lunar eclipse, so that's bad news. Bad news for different groups of people, but it's a bad sign. So the Gemara says, so that's why on Wednesday we're praying for the children not to contract any type of illness. Bechamishi al uber tamanikos, uber shlo yakilu manikos shiankos benehem. And on Thursday we fast, and the fast that is done on Thursdays for those who are women who are pregnant and those women who are nursing. What does that have to do with Thursday? Man wasn't created till Friday. So you take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Yishrutzamayim, Sheretz Nefesh Chaya. Because life was created on Thursday. Granted, not human life, but life, and not only life, but the ability to create progeny. That was created on Thursday. So the fast that's done on Thursday by the Ma'amados corresponds to progeny, to having a successful childbirth, and also for successfully nursing the child as well. And then Friday, we wouldn't fast because there's an idea of covered Shabbos. We have to honor the Shabbos. Fasting on Friday would diminish our ability to prepare for Shabbos. So we're not going to fast on Friday. And if we're not fasting on Friday, it goes without saying, Kal v'chomer, goes without saying that we're not fasting on Shabbos as well. Ad kan, v'ibrei ha-braisa. One noticeable omission in the braisa, and that, of course, is Sunday. Why are we not fasting on Sunday? So again, the Ma'amados are having this week long of extra davening, extra tefillah, praying that the carbon tamid will be accepted, barason, good. And they're fasting every possible day, which is Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, not Friday because of Kabbat Shabbos, and certainly not Shabbos itself. But why not Sunday? So the Gemara is going to fill in the gap. So the Gemara discusses, Ve'echa b'Shabbos my time alone. Why are we not fasting on Sunday? So Rav Yochanan me'an notzrim. So Rav Yochanan says because of the notzrim. Okay, that's certainly a reference to some early version of Christianity. So Sunday is their day, and so with that, the Gemara giving much explanation in terms of why one affects the other. Now, mind you, by the way, I mean this is really I'm not sure if Christianity is even the right way to say it. We're talking about during Baishen. We're talking about during the Second Temple, right? Obviously, we're talking about the carbon coming. So there must have been some sort of older version or some pagan version where Sunday becomes a day of worship for this group. Now, I don't fully understand why it is that would offend or affect our ability to fast on Sunday. Okay, and the Gemara gives no further explanation. That needs more clarification. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar Mimneshu Shlish Liyitzira. So Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani gives another explanation, having nothing to do with the Notzrim, but having to do with it's the third day of our creation, meaning man was created, man and woman were created on Friday, and we know that basically after surgery, the third day is the worst day. Okay, this is not me giving medical advice, this is just an assumption that we make throughout the Torah. The best example for that, Rashi brings it down, is by the by Shimon and Levi and Shechem, in the city of Shechem, where they got a bris milah, and when did they come in? They came in on day three. Day three is just simply the worst day since surgery. So Adam and Chava, Adam had surgery on Friday, okay, and hence came out Chava. So Sunday is day three. Now, understood that it's also this explanation needs more clarification and more understanding. We're talking about now for all future generations, meaning that Sunday is somehow encrypted inside of us, encoded inside of us, is this idea that Sunday we're just weaker. We're just weaker people on Sunday. Okay, maybe can explain why it is that we don't work, why the culture has become, we don't work on Sunday. It's just, it's a weaker day. I don't know. But then the Gemara says is that we just simply, it's fasting on Sunday is just difficult to do. Now, mind you, in this answer, we do fast on Sunday, meaning there are occasions where the Jewish people establish a fast on Sunday. Tisha B'Av comes out on a Sunday. This answer is also difficult to understand, but, definitely deserves our attention. Reish Lakish Amar Mimnei Nesham Yisera, and Reish Lakish says, the problem with fasting on Sunday is Nesham Yisera. The Amar Reish Lakish Nesham Yisera Ninnabal Ba'adam, Be'er Shabbos, okay, was not that long ago. We saw this in the middle of Masechta Beitza, where the Gemara there discusses, it says, as the Gemara here does as well, that on Shabbos we're given an extra Nesham Yisera, and on Motzei Shabbos, not Lono Sar, and it goes away on Motzei Shabbos, Mimenesh and Amar, Shabbos v'nefesh, kemesh Shabbos v'ay avna nefesh. Now, one Shabbos has come and gone, so now we've lost our neshama yisera, we lost our extra neshama. Now, what does that mean, neshama yisera? So, I'll look at Rashi over here, we'll look at Rashi together. Neshama yisera, Rashi's definition of it, marchiven da'ato la'achil u'shtia. So, our minds are widened, meaning we have more expansive ability on Shabbos, and Rashi says, and we can handle more food. Okay, in other words, we have the ability to eat more on Shabbos. Rashi in Beitza says, I remember correctly, the exact same thing as Rashi over here. So basically, it's our ability to eat more. And now the problem is that you're going from Shabbos where you've been eating great, and you can handle on Shabbos because of the Shem Yisera, and then you move to Sunday, and then you go from having eaten very well to eating nothing. That's very difficult, such a change of diet. So that's why another explanation in terms of why it is that we don't fast on Sunday. So Gemara gave three suggestions. The Braisa did not discuss, but the Gemara gave three suggestions why these Mamadas do not fast on Sunday, either because of Yom HaNotzrim or because it's the third day since our creation, we were created on Friday, or because we're going from eating a lot on Shabbos to eating nothing on Sunday, which is not good. Okay, we're going to have now about 15 to 20 good minutes of discussion of how to break up the aliyahs. Remember now, we've said that in the week of your ma'amados, so you gather together and you read from the Torah. And what parshas do you read from the Torah? So you start with parshas Bereishis. And then each day of creation, meaning that you're observing an entire week, and each day of the week, you're going to read in the Torah about its corresponding days of creation. So, okay, I have a chumash in front of me. So on day one, you're going to be reading Bereishis Bara Elokim. Now that first paragraph that describes day one of creation is only 5 pesukim long. So the problem is, as Rashi points out over here, we want three aliyahs. Why do we want three aliyahs? Because Kohen Levi Yisrael. We want to give each section of the Jewish people an aliyah. So therefore, we want three aliyahs. So how are you going to make three aliyahs out of 5 pesukim? That's going to be a challenge, more than just a challenge. It's impossible. So, and remember, the basic rule is, we're going to see this all again in Masechta Megillah, in the third parak. The basic rule is that each aliyah has to be 3 pesukim. So you need minimum 9 pesukim. So now, and we're talking about making three aliyahs out of 5 pesukim, that's obviously an impossibility. So what the Gemara now is going to explain to us is that that first paragraph of Bereishis Bara Elokim, so that's going to be divided to two aliyahs, which in of itself is a neat trick, meaning that's 5 pesukim, that's not 6 pesukim. So we're going to discuss how we're going to do that. And then what we're going to do is that the third aliyah is going to read Monday, meaning Vayom Elokim Yehi Rakiya B'Tzoch HaMayim. Now granted, that's really not the principal kriya of that day, but okay, but in other words, we need to make three aliyahs, so therefore we're going to tack on Monday's day to Sunday. Okay, and the discussion that we're going to have right now is, how are we going to make two aliyahs out of that first parsha of Bereishis Bara Elokim? So Tana, we learned on a brisa, Bereishis B'Shtayim Yehi Rakiya B'Echad. So for these ma'amados on the first day on Sunday, so the three aliyahs are going to be, two aliyahs for Bereishis Bara Elokim, and one aliyah for Vayehi Rakiya. Now B'Shtayim Yehi Rakiya B'Echad Tlasa P'sukei Havu. So look at my points out. Good. The third aliyah is going to have an easy time getting up there because he has 3 pesukim to read. Then I understand. Everyone remember the one who was in the good old days, the one who got the aliyah is the one who's reading the Torah. Okay, that's the general assumption that is always made. Nowadays, we have this idea. Nowadays, you know, last many hundreds of years, we have what's called the Baal Kareh. But anyway, Ela Bereishis B'Shnayim, so hey, P'sukei Havyan. So, but Bereishis, the parsha, Bereishis is 5 pesukim, and the Tanya will listen to Bereishis, Kareh, B'Torah, Lo Yifchos Migam Pesukim. And when you get called up to read the Torah, so you cannot, so you have to read minimally 3 pesukim. So what do you do? So this discussion that we're going to have right now in the Gemara, we're going to repeat the entire discussion again in the third paragraph of Megillah. So we're going to see it again later on as well. Two basic positions in terms of what to do. Rav Amar Dolet Shmo Amar Posek. So Rav says, so what you do is you repeat a pasuk, meaning the first Ola reads Psukim Aleph Beis Gimel, the second Ola reads Psukim Gimel Galahe. Okay, that's Rav's position. That's what's called Doleg. Doleg literally means to skip. In this case, it doesn't mean skip forward, it means skip backwards. Meaning the second one is going to repeat a pasuk. All this should sound familiar to us because basically we do this every Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh we have, the Gemara Megillah is going to discuss this, we have the same problem in that we're going to have to create two aliyahs out of that first parsha. So what we do is we skip. It's a little more complicated by Rosh Chodesh in terms of the numbers, but okay, but it's basically the same solution. And Shmuel says, no, what you'll do is you'll take a pasuk, you'll divide in half. So that means to say that we'll do the first Ola, we'll read Pasuk Gimel, but not all Pasuk Gimel. We'll stop in the middle of the Pasuk. And then the second Ola is going to pick it up from the second half of the third Pasuk, and then read that, and Pasuk Dal, and Pasuk K. So we have two... We have two basic approaches. Gemara's going to flesh everything out over here. Gemara's really leave nothing to conjecture. So Shmuel Amar Posek, Rav Amar Dolik, my time alone Amar Posek. So Rav says that we go back and we repeat a pasuk, and Rav is against this idea of taking a pasuk and dividing it in half. So the Gemara just is now wondering out loud, why? What's the problem with that? So Kasova called Suga the Lopaskin Moshe and then Lopaskin Alei. Because Rav says, look, we can't do that. We have no right to take a pasuk and divide it. If Moshe didn't divide it, we don't divide it. The psukim, meaning, and I mean this in the most literal sense, the place where Moshe says this is the end of a pasuk, that's it. Meaning that's, and here it's, if you will, halacha Moshe Mitzinai, meaning that's Torah. So we have no right to take a pasuk and divide it into two. So that's Rav's position. It's a very strong position. Shmuel Amar Posek, Umi Paskinan. So the Gemara says now, Shmuel, so now the Gemara turns its attention to Shmuel. So Shmuel says, yeah, how could you do that? In fact, the Gemara goes on to say, V'am Rabbi Chanina kar etzar gadol hayalo etzar Rabbi Chanina gadol. It was very painful, Rabbi Chanina gadol, the following. I asked him, here I am in school teaching children, and sometimes, especially if they're young and they're hearing the Chumash for the first time, to read an entire pasuk for them, that's a lot. So what we did is, or what I wanted to do is, I wanted to take a pasuk and break it up. For teaching purposes, not for Kriyas HaTorah and Shul, for teaching purposes, I wanted to break a pasuk up. And Rabbi Chanina Gadol said, okay, for teaching purposes, because the kids need to learn, so for that, I'll allow you to break the pasuk up. But that's it. So hold the lifam and asuyan. In other words, this is an educational methodology. It's for the purposes of teaching. So here, you can break a pasuk up. But in other words, the Gemara's point is, that's it. Meaning, it wasn't easy. Meaning, he was matir, he allowed it. But under those circumstances, and presumably only under those circumstances. To which the Gemara says, v'shmol ha'asam, time on my mishum de lo asher, hachanam de lo asher. So Shmuel says, okay, I'll just simply use it as a precedent. So Shmuel says, look, in that situation, lo asher, meaning what alternatives do you have? You have to teach the kids. The whole pasuk as it stands is long, hard for them to digest an entire pasuk, so we break the pasuk up because we need to. So here too, when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah on the Ma'amados on Sunday, the first Aliyah, the first Parsha is five psukim. Okay, so we need to break a pasuk up. Meaning, you're right. Shmuel will basically say, that's a proof for me. Generally speaking, you're not allowed to break a pasuk up. But when necessary, you break a pasuk into two. Good. So that is the defense of Shmuel's position. Shmuel on my pasuk, my tam, my law, my doleg. So now, what is Shmuel so against the Rav's suggestion of repeating a pasuk? Repeating a pasuk seems to be a very good way of resolving the problem of creating two aliyahs out of five pesukim. So the Gemara says, "Gzer Mishum Nechnasim, Gzer Mishum Yotzim." So what Shmuel's concerned about is the people who leave late, who leave early from shul, and the people who come in late. And as Rashi over here points out, and again we're going to hear the same thing again in Megillah. What the concern is that the people who come in late. So what's going to happen? So they come in late. Now, obviously, the Gemara is not advocating. The Gemara is certainly not condoning. The Gemara is just dealing with the reality. People come in late. So for those people come in late, so they're going to look in their chumash. And they're going to wonder to themselves, wow, that's interesting, right? I got him for the second Aliyah, and he started from the third Pasuk. Okay, so the first Aliyah read two Pasukim, I guess. Okay. And that's his thought process. And so Shmuel says, I'm worried. I'm worried about that person. And Shmuel says, I'm worried about the person who's leaving early from Shul. So the person leaves after the first Aliyah, so he's going to look to himself and he's going to say, hey, look at that. He only left two psukim to read. Now, granted, I should have stayed in shul, and I should have heard it. And if I did, I would have learned that they actually added another pasuk and repeated another pasuk. Okay, but I left whatever. For whatever, I left shul early. So then what you're most concerned about is that these people who come in late and leave early are going to walk away with erroneous conclusions. Now, yes, I do find it challenging and difficult to understand how we're going to legislate for people who are leaving shul early and coming in shul late. And I'm admitting, it's difficult to understand. And these are the only occasions that these people are going to come to shul, and they're never going to come to shul again. and they're never going to be corrected in this mistake that they, you know, that they made because they left school early? I don't know. Meaning, it's difficult. And then you'll hear, I'm going to repeat the same thing in Masechta Megillah. Unless I get a better, I wrap my head around it better, which would be nice. But yes, it's difficult to understand how we could legislate for these two groups of people. But we do. And so the Gemara says, and that's what Shmuel's concerned about, and that's why Shmuel doesn't like repeating a pasuk, because it would lead to erroneous conclusions. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges, Parsha Shoshisha Pesukim Kare Nasa B'Shnaim V'Shal Chamisha, Harishim Kare Gimel, Hasheni Kare Shnaim Parsha Zuv, I'm sorry, B'Shnaim V'Shal Chamisha, I'm sorry, the Bach over here, B'Yachid, anyway, one Aliyah. Meaning, okay, if there are six psukim, you break it up into two aliyahs. If it's five psukim, it's one aliyah. Harishon kari gimel, Hasheni kari shnayim parsha zuva echa parsha acheres. Now, let's say it's five psukim, and the first person got an aliyah, let's say he read three psukim. Okay, now he shouldn't have, but he did. And so what should the next person do? So the next person should read two psukim, the two remaining psukim, and one more pasuk from the next parsha. And the Yeshomrim says, no, read the last two psukim of the five pasuk parsha, and then read the next three psukim of the upcoming parsha, because you never want to read less than three psukim at the beginning of the parsha. But here's what bothers the Gemara. Laman de'amar doleg, yidlog laman de'amar posek, livsok. So the Gemara says, now, according to Rav, according to Shmuel, why do we have to go ahead in the Torah? We have solutions. Now, it is difficult to understand how the Gemara over here is suggesting, well, just simply take a pasuk and divide in half. At this point in time, it's too late. The first aliyah already read three psukim. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that according to Shmuel, we'll just take a pasuk and divide into two. It's too late to do that. So that becomes a little bit difficult. But according to Rav, what you should do is certainly just go back and read one pasuk that you already read and the last two psukim, and why not do that? So the Gemara says, Shani Hasam de Islay Rabcha. So the Gemara says very simply, I'll tell you why we don't do that. We don't do that because we have an option, meaning we can go ahead in the Torah. You see, by the Mamados and by Rosh Chodesh Lening, which the Gemara here doesn't discuss, but we'll discuss it in the Sefer Megillah, we're limited, meaning we have a certain amount of Torah that we're supposed to read, and we're not going to go off and read other Inyanim. That has nothing to do with the Mamados and nothing to do with Rosh Chodesh. So there, when there's a finite number of psukim, and we're constricted to those psukim, so then we have to talk about either breaking a pasuk in half or repeating one of the psukim. But if I'm just reading, et cetera, it's a weekly parsha, so there, if one Olev mistakenly stops two psukim before the end of the parsha, so then we have the right to read those psukim and then just simply go on, and the Gemara says, and that's what we'll do. And Rav Shmuel is only dealing with solutions where I have a set number of psukim that I'm supposed to read. Can I share with you, I'm sure I knew this at one point in time, but while reviewing for the daf, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then it dawned on me. Tosfos over here discusses, on the first Tosfos in Chav Zayin Amud Beis, discusses the following. And it's funny, the question is so obvious and just whatever, never think about it. Every time we get to a yontif, so what do? We read a part of the Torah that has to do with the yontif, and then we read Musafim, right? Every yontif. We read the Musafim, meaning we take out a second Sefer Torah, and we go to Parshas Pinchas, which is this week's Sedra, and we read whatever Karban Musaf is applicable for that day, right? And we do it for every yontif, with no exception. Let me ask you a simple question. Why don't we do that for Shabbos? Meaning, every Shabbos, there's a Karban Musaf. Right? That's what makes Shabbos special and unique. So every Shabbos is a Karban Musaf. So why doesn't every Shabbos, I know it's time-consuming, but in theory, and practically, and not practically speaking, but theoretically speaking, shouldn't we take out a second Sefer Torah and read the Musaf for Shabbos? Meaning, there's a Karban Musaf every Shabbos. So Tosfos asked that question. And again, I'm sure at one point in time I heard this, I knew this, but I totally forgot. And then last night, as I was preparing, actually, this is 2 days ago already, but I'm looking at Tosfos, I'm like, hey, that's a good question. His answer, interesting answer. So his answer is, in Tosfos, Chav Zayin Amud Beis, it's the first Tosfos. I'm reading the last three or four lines of Tosfos. So let's see. Amar, let's see. She'ein b'parsha shel Shabbos. Okay, let's just start from the a line earlier. Mizerai leminagenu asa aha the lo karina b'shel Shabbos. I'm sorry, b'chol Shabbos b'Shabbos parsha shel Shabbos. Right, Tosfos over here is bothered. Our minag is we don't read the Musafim for Shabbos every Shabbos, which really we should do. Kamosha anu asim b'yom tov, like we do every single yom tov. Shanu karim parsha shlofi amar lefi she'ain the parsha shel Shabbos shlosha psukim de'ain lamar shenidlag la'el de'lo havei michad inyana. And so Tosfos' answer is, do you know why we don't read the Musaf of Shabbos on every Shabbos? Because it's only two psukim, meaning right observe the Shabbos as we go through Parshat Pinchas. So you'll see that how many psukim are there that deal with the Musaf of Shabbos? The answer is only two, and you can't make one aliyah out of two psukim. And what are you going to tell me? Well, why don't we read a little bit of the previous parsha or read a little bit of the upcoming parsha? So Tosha says no, because when you are dealing with an inyan, when you're dealing with one subject matter, you can't go off and read other parshios. So Tosha's answer is a very simple. We just there's a problem with no solution. The problem is that there are only two psukim that deal with the Musaf of Shabbos, and in order to create an aliyah, you need three psukim. Okay, very. Yeah, Shmuel, you're right. Correct, which only strengthens the question, right? Because right, Shmuel Esra, we have a Musaf, and in that Musaf, we speak about those psukim. So right, so why don't we take another Sefer Torah? So very interesting answer by Tosfos, because we just can't, because it only has two psukim. Okay, back to the Gemara 1, Chaf Chef Amud Aleph, we're at the top of the Amud Parsha Gedolah Koronos Abishnaim, B'Shachos of Musaf B'Mincha Koron Al Pihem. Okay, now here's what happens with the Ma'amados. Certainly what's clear from the Mishnah. For Shacharis, they'll take out a Sefer Torah, and they'll read the Parsha. For Mincha, and for, I'm sorry, let me just say, Uve Mincha, and for Mincha, they'll say it by heart. Okay. In other words, the assumption back then is that they knew their Chumash, and so they'll just simply read it by heart. Okay. Why don't they read it out of a Sefer Torah? It's time-consuming, meaning to take out a Sefer Torah during Mincha. I know we do it during fast days, but to take out a Sefer Torah during Mincha, it'd be a lot. We'll throw around the term Tircha de Tzibura. So therefore, they just simply read it by heart. Now, Musaf, okay, not clear from the Mishnah, are they taking out the Sefer Torah, or are they reading it by heart? So the Gemara wants to know, Ibai Elohu, what's the correct way to read the Mishnah? Hechi kamar, v'shachas of a Musaf karnos of a Sefer, meaning basically the question the Gemara is asking is, where do I place the comma in the Mishnah? Is it that on Shacharis and Musaf are reading the Sefer Torah, meaning we'll take out the Sefer Torah both occasions? Now this idea, it's interesting, taking out the Sefer Torah during Musaf, meaning that's generally speaking, the Sefer Torah that we take out is for Shacharis. Okay, we don't have this. But okay, we're talking now about the Ma'amados. So maybe the correct way to understand the Mishnah is that we take out the Sefer Torah twice, once for Shacharis and once again for Musaf. Over Mincha Korno Soapeh, Kekorno Shema, and it's only for Mincha that we just simply say it by heart, but we don't take out the Sefer Torah. Odil Ma'achi Ketani. The Gemara says, oh no, maybe you take the comma and move it up one word in the Mishnah. The Shacharis Korno Soapeh, Shacharis, I read it from a sefer, meaning Kriyas Torah, and then Uve Musaf of the Mincha Korno Soapeh, Kekorno Shema, and then from Musaf and from Mincha, then we're just simply going to say it by heart. So that's the Gemara's question. Basically, where do I insert comma in the Mishnah? Tashma, Detani, B'Shacharis, and Musaf, Nechnas, and Besig Nesses, the Kohen Kedesh, the Kohen Kol Hashanah. So we have a Brisa, and the Brisa spells it out. The Brisa says that I take out a sefer Torah for Shacharis during the Ma'amados, and again for Musaf. And then by Mincha, Yachi Koros Opeh. And then by Mincha, I just have somebody read it by heart. Now, Am Rav Yosef, Yachi Yachi Likoros Divrei Torah Opeh, B'tzibur. So Rav Yosef says, what? You're just going to have somebody just saying Divrei Torah by heart? So Ela Kula Nechrasim Likoros Opeh Kekor Nishma. So rather, Rav Yosef says, everyone's going to go in and read it to themselves like we read the Shema. What was the question of the Gemara? What was the answer of the Gemara? Meaning, look, we resolved our question, meaning we now know where the comma belongs in the Mishnah. We take it a Sefer Torah for Shacharis and for Musaf, and for the Ma'amados, and we read from the Sefer Torah both Shacharis and Musaf. And then for Mincha, we read it by heart. We know we don't take out a Sefer Torah. What was the Q&A? The Gemara said, Rabbi Yossi says, what? You're going to read it by heart? Oh, no. His answer? Everyone will read it to themselves. What just happened? What was the question? What was the answer? So just a brief explanation of this Gemara over here, based on what we learned a couple years ago, back in Temura. The Gemara in Temura gives us a very basic rule, Gittin also. The Gemara in Gittin discusses this as well, which is that a Sefer Torah, if you're going to Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah, you need a Torah. Right? Dvarim shebichtav e'efshar la'omrim about that. That you can't say psukim in the Torah by heart. And then, dvarim she'al peh, e'efshar la'kasvan. And anything which is part of the old Torah, the old tradition, so you're not allowed to write it down. Okay, so the second rule we'll ignore, because we're looking at a Gemara right now. So, and we're not gonna ignore it, but you understand that, we wrote down the Torah Shabbat. Okay. But it's not a small deal, it's a big deal. Just I'm not going to make a big deal out of it right now, but it is a big deal. But the first rule is that when you have psukim, you're not allowed to say psukim by heart. Okay, that's the Gemara, it's the Gemara in Temura, the Gemara in Gittin. So Tosus over there says, what? You're not allowed to say it by heart? But we do it all the time. Now remember, Siddurim back in the good old days was not as popular as they are now. Not everyone had a Siddur. In fact, most people didn't. So how did you say Shema every morning? Did you go to the Aron, you take out a Sefer Torah, and you, no. You know, the way you used to say Shema was by heart. So Tosfos over there in the Gemara in Temura says, well, how are we allowed to do that? Meaning Shema is Psukim and Chumash. How can you just simply say it by heart? So Tosfos over there gives us a basic rule. Now this is Tosfos, but it's a very basic rule, which is that when the Gemara restricts and says that you're not allowed to say Psukim in the Torah by heart, that means to be Motzi Yidei Acherim. That means to help somebody else fulfill their obligation. If it's to help you fulfill your own personal obligation, then you're allowed to say psukim by heart. That's Tosfos over there in the Gemara in Temura. Huh? Well, not for psukim. Meaning for Shemoneh Esrei, that's fine. Shemoneh Esrei is not psukim. Right, but everyone else should be saying it to themselves as well. Meaning that's an obligation coming upon everybody. Now, if he... Right. Okay, right, fine. So everyone should be saying it. So that's Tosfos over there. So and now with that Tosfos in mind, now the Gemara over here is clear. Meaning what was the Q&A? Rav Yossi says that for Mincha we're not taking out a Sefer Torah, and the thinking was, well, one person will read it by heart. No, you can't do that. You can't have one person reading for other people if there's no Sefer Torah. Oh, that's the answer. The answer is, Rav Yossi says, you're right. So what everyone's going to do is, everyone's going to go to shul, and everyone's going to say it for themselves. That you're allowed to do. That you can read the same, if it's psukim in the Torah that you want to say by heart, for you, and not to be mostly other people, that you're allowed to do. So that would be the give and take in our Gemara over here, and that would be a good way of understanding Rav Yossi. Okay, back to the Gemara. Tashma. The time you learned in a brisa. No. I'm sorry. We did that. I'm sorry. Kol yom sheish bo halah ein bo maimed. So if there's halah, there's no maimed. V'chulei. Now Rashi over here. Now these next, it's three lines of Gemara. These next three lines of Gemara are challenging, just to even know what the Gemara is even talking about. The approach that we're going to go through is Rashi's approach. That's generally my rule. We go through Rashi. We do the Gemara as Rashi presents it, and you'll see that Rashi's got some difficulties, but. There is more than one way to understand these next three lines of the Gemara, but we're just going to go through Rashi's approach. The Gemara says, "Ma hefresh bein zeh lezeh." What's the difference between this and this? Okay, the Gemara just kind of throws us into the middle of a discussion, and really, just obviously, would have been better had the Gemara given us a little more context. Like, what are we talking about? What's even the question? So, if you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi writes over here. It's the second Rashi on the Amud. So Rashi says, "My hefresh min zeh lezeh, my shnat dekab and eitzim, dachi maimad dini'ila, umaimad dimincha lo dachi." Look, on the day of Karban and eitzim, do you remember the Mishnah? We just did it a couple days ago, that there were certain days where certain families were donating wood to the Beis HaMikdash, and as a result of that, it was become for them it was become a personal yontif. On that day, on the Karban and eitzim day, so some of the Maimed services get suspended. specifically which service gets suspended? Ni'ilah. Ni'ilah gets suspended. But Mincha does not get suspended, meaning the additional Maimed services for Mincha do not get suspended. And now that's the way Rashi understands our Gemara. And now the question on the table is, well, if it's a day of Karban Eitzim, why is these special Maimed services for Ni'ilah get knocked out, but not for Mincha? And then the Gemara's answer, Halalu Divrei Torah, Halalu Divrei Sofrim. Well, one is Divrei Torah, and the other one is Divrei Sofrim. On the surface, what that means is, one is biblical, the other is rabbinic. One's Daraisi, the other's Darabanan. Take a look at Rashi, and Rashi writes that. Rashi says, Halalu Divrei Torah. What's Divrei Torah? Mincha. Mincha's Divrei Torah, meaning it's Min HaTorah to Daven Mincha. And Rashi says, and how do I know that? Because Amin HaBrachot Yitzchak Avinu Tikein Tzvilas Mincha. Because Yitzchak instituted Mincha. Shenema V'yetzis Yitzchak Vasurach Vasadil Ef Nos Erev Udi Ni'ilah Medivrei Sofrim. But Ni'ilah has no source, and so therefore Ni'ilah is rabbinic, and so therefore if we're going to knock out, because of Karban Eitzim, if we're going to knock out one, we're going to knock out Ni'ilah, which is rabbinic, and not knock out Mincha, which is Da'araisa. Okay, yeah, everyone understand now? I mean, I'm going to spell it out, but the problem is obvious. Rashi just said that Mincha is Doraisa. That's the way Rashi understands. Again, the Gemara never said that. All the Gemara says is Halalu Divrei Torah and Halalu Divrei Sofrim. But the way Rashi understands it is that the Divrei Torah is referring to Mincha and the Divrei Sofrim is referring to Ne'ilah. That's obviously really difficult. Mincha, by most accounts, is not a Din Doraisa. It's not a Mitzvah Doraisa. That's most probably what the Gemara means, right? What the Gemara means over here, according to Rashi, is that at least we can find some sources, meaning the Gemara over here is not saying that Mincha is a Daraisa, it's the Rabbanan, the idea of davening Mincha every day. And even according to the Rambam, right, we've gone over this a number of times, it's basic, it's good to know, it's important to know, the Rambam says that the Mitzvah of davening is Daraisa, the Ramban, Nachman, he says that the Mitzvah of davening is the Rabbanan. So even according to the Rambam, who says that davening is a mitzvah d'oraisa, that's only once a day, right? In other words, the idea, Rambam spells it out, the idea that we daven three times a day, that's the Rabbanan. The Chachamim instituted that. So, right, so even according to the Rambam, to argue that mincha is a d'oraisa is it's a stretch. It's nearly impossible to argue. Well, you can, but it's very difficult. So like Danny says, I think Danny hit it right on the head. In other words, the Gemara is just simply highlighting that by Mincha, there are you can connect it to the Torah, right? But as opposed to Ne'ilah, Ne'ilah just simply is no connection. There's nowhere in the Torah that makes any type of allusion to the additional Tfilas Ne'ilah that we daven on the fast days. In this case, the Ma'amadah. Okay. We'll get to that. That's our next discussion. We're going to talk about how. Zman Hatzikon and Ba'am. Tan Rabban Lama Hutzichu Lomar Zman Hatzikon and Ba'am. Amru. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? What is Zman Atzei Kohanim Ba'am? Kesha'alu b'nei Gol, l'lamatu etzei b'lishka. So the Gemara over here goes over the history. We went over this when we did the Mishnah, but the Gemara is not spelling it out. When they went back to build the second temple, there was no wood. V'amdu eilav yisnadu mishalahem. And these people came and they donated. They stepped up understanding that. There was a need for them to go give extra sponsorship, and they did so. V'chein. And from that point going forward, even when they were making budget and they had the wood, but these families, because they were so special in donating in the early years of Vaisheni, so they were always given those days. They were still kept those days. And the Pasuk in Nehemiah basically says, these families are special, they gave, and so therefore they're always going to keep their dates. Okay. V'imahem kohanim v'levim v'chomi, tan rabbanan, mayu b'nei gunvi eili u'b'nei kotze kitzios. Okay. If you go back to the Mishnah, if you remember, we identified in the Mishnah 8 families. There were 9 dates in the Mishnah, over the course of the year, but there were 8 families. One of those families had a funny name. Can I remind everybody? Go back to the Mishnah. Look back in the Mishnah. It was the I'm just looking for which number day it is. It was day number 6. Okay? It was the sixth date mentioned, which was the 15th day of Av. So that was B'nei Zatu Ben Yehuda, the Imahem Kohanim B'Levim, V'chol Mishatah B'Shifto, anyone who does not know which Sheva they belong to, Uvnei Gunvi, Eli, Uvnei Kotzei Ketzios. And literally the stealers of the pestle, right, like mortar and pestle, and the Kotzei Ketzios, and the ones making pressed fig cakes. What? Like, who are they? What are they? Why are they part of that list? So the Gemara over here quotes the Brises, and the Brises go and explain. So, a decree against the Jewish people, no wood for the Mizbeach, for the top of the Mizbeach, and you cannot bring Bikurim. These are the decrees that were made. The Brice over here does not give us any idea of when historically we're talking about, and we can speculate. But Roshiva proves the Ot al Hadrachim. So they made checkpoints along the way so that no one would be smuggling in wood or fruit for the Marach and for the Bikurim, much like Yerava Ben Nevat did, right? The Gemara, you'll see the Gemara is obviously for obvious reasons, but so unhappy to Yerava Ben Nevat, right? The first king of Machi Yisrael, who also did not want the Jews making Aliyah Larego, so therefore what he did is he basically made a roadblock so that no one in the northern kingdom can go down and go to Yerushalayim. Okay, so, and the Gemara over here, the Brice over here, took a swipe at Yerubim and Nevat for understandable reasons, meaning they're just so displeased with his action. So, Ma'asuk Sherim Shebehem, so what did they, what did people do? Meaning basically, they smuggled wood and fruit into the Beis HaMikdash. And over here, we're going to get two versions of how they smuggled it in. So what they did is they took in baskets, and they basically layered figs over the basket, so it basically looked like a pile of figs. And they took a pestle, the thing that you pound the spices in, and they put it on their shoulders. They came and she gave it. When they got to the checkpoint, Amar lahem lahechan atem hochem. So where are you going? So Amar lahem shnei gulid veila. Oh, we're just pressing figs. That's all we're doing. B'machtesh shofanenu. And here's what we're pressing it in. Uve eli sha'al katzenu. Came and she avro imahem ichu mesalim ve'ivin lishalayim. And so now basically they were able to smuggle baskets beyond the checkpoint. And now the figs were already there. They took the figs, they put in the basket, bikurim. And the pestle probably broke it down for its wood, and in order for it to get wood for the mizbeach. Tana hein hein b'nei samai hanetufti. And the Brisa tells us that they are the family of samai hanetufti. Tana rabbanan. The Gemara quotes another Brisa where again we're going to get the same idea of smuggling so that we can do the mitzvah of bikurim and burning wood on the maracha. So again, the Brice over here starts with the same basic idea. No one was allowed to bring wood into the Beis HaMikdash, and so they made checkpoints. We'll assume it's the Roman government, but again, that's just speculation. So what people did is they constructed ladders out of wood. And with the ladders, they move now walking through the checkpoint, through security. Well, we got to go to the birdhouses, and the only way we can get up to the birdhouses is with the ladders. And so for this act of smuggling, meaning good, the Gemara says they a resounding endorsement. And on Yeravam, who sets up a roadblock to stop the Jewish people from going from the northern kingdom down to the south to Yerushalayim, so Shem Yerush Visham Yerkov. Okay, but again, now We get a basic idea. Now we understand the Mishnah's expression of they're the smugglers. What does that mean, smugglers? In the context of the two stories that we just saw, we understand. The Esrim Bo B'nei Pchas Moab Ben Yehuda. On the 20th day of, I think, Av. Just going to double check. On the 20th day of, of Av. So it's the Pchas Moab Ben Yehuda. So, Tana B'nei Pchas Moab Ben Yehuda, Hinei B'nei Dabi Ben Yehuda. Okay? So it's the same as Dabi Ben Yehuda. Div Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Hinei B'nei Yov Ben Surya. And according to Rabbi Yossi, they are the descendants of Yov Ben Surya. Okay, one of the generals of Dabi Namal. So, B'Esrim Ve'elo B'nei Edom Ben Yehuda, Tana Rabbana B'nei Edom Ben Yehuda, Hinei B'nei Dabi Ben Yehuda. Div Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that and Dabi Ben Yehuda are the same. And Rabbi Yossi, Omer, Hinei B'nei Yov Ben Surya. And again, according to Rabbi Yossi, no, this is Yov Ben Surya. Okay, and you'll see, in other words, they go by different names. We see this all the time. But you'll see why that information will come into play in just a moment. Be'echa b'teve shabo b'nei parush shnia. Now, on the first day of Teves, so the family of Parush would be now bringing wood for a second time. Now, money, masisa lo Rabbi Meir, v'lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Yossi. Authorship of our Mishnah. It's difficult. Because according to our Mishnah, only one family went twice, and that's the family of B'nai Parash. Because Rabbi Meir, Lishni Shabo, B'nai David, Ben Yehuda, Shnia. Because according to Rabbi Meir, the family of David, Ben Yehuda, went a second time. And Rabbi Yehuda, Lishni Shabo, B'nai David, Ben Yehuda, Shnia. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, David, Ben Yehuda went a second time. And Rabbi Yossi, Lishni Shabo, B'nai Yehuda, Ben Suri, Shnia. And according to Rabbi Yossi, the family of Yov Ben Surya went a second time. So all of Rabbi Yossi betrayed Panai Aliba Rabbi Yossi. So the Gemara over here gives an answer. The Gemara says, well, really, the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, but there are more than one version of Rabbi Yossi. The Echad B'Teves L'Hayu B'Maman. Okay. Now, on the first day of Teves, so you had a confluence of the first day of Teves is Rosh Chodesh, is Hanukkah, and it's also a date, one of the dates of the Aseh HaMaracha, the sponsorship of the wood. And because you had a confluence of those three occasions on the first day of Teves, so therefore the mamados of that particular city would get three things knocked out, meaning the additional davenings of the mamados. So despite the fact that it was the mamados, but because it was Rosh Chodesh and Aseh HaMaracha and Hanukkah, so therefore, all the mamados get knocked out. So Amar Makashi should break the Rav Chista the Rav Ashi. Top of the next Amar Maishna Hara of the Dachi Diday. O Maishna Mutav the Lo Dachi Diday. At this juncture, the Gemara thinks. So look, Hallel is connected with Shacharis. Okay, right, we say Hallel immediately after Shacharis, but in terms of its association, the correct way to associate Hallel is with Shacharis. So because it's Hallel, again, it's Hallel for two reasons. It's Hanukkah. And it's Rosh Chodesh. Well, let's say Hanukkah. Let's say it's a stronger reason. Okay? So because there's a full halal, so therefore no mamad is for Shacharis. Okay, halal. Musaf, because it's Rosh Chodesh. And again, it's Aseh Maracha, which knocks out Mincha. But anyway, the Gemara here wants to know, why is it that halal knocks itself out, meaning the additional mamados davening gets suspended for Shacharis, but Musaf, meanwhile, doesn't knock out the mamados for Musaf. So Amalei Rav Ashi, Hasha Delav Didei Dachi Didei Lo Kol Shekein. The Gemara says, well, if it knocks another davening out, it certainly will knock itself out. Amalei Hachi Kamin Alach Lo Litchei Ela Didei. No, you misunderstood me. What I want to know is, why doesn't Musaf only knock out Musaf? Meaning that we're not going to do the mamados during Musaf, but that's it. And let it not affect anything else. Amalei, Yitzhak Rav Yosef, Dikai Kavasech, Titania. So the Gemara says, no, your argument is excellent. In fact, you have a ton of supporting your position. Rav Yosef, Amar, Kol Yom Sheyeshbo Musaf, Yeshbo Mamad. So any day where there's Musaf, there's going to be a Mamad. That's Rav Yosef's rule. And to which the Gemara wants just to seek a little bit of clarification. Mamad Demai. Well, which maimed, meaning which of the davenings are there going to be the special maimed services? Elim Maimon D'Shachris HaTanakama Nami Hachi Kama. So what do you mean? Maimon D'Shachris for sure. So Ela Maimon D'Musav Kidei Nami Lo Dachi. So the Gemara says, well, it can't be Musav because the Musav will knock out the Maimon. Ela D'Mincha. So the Gemara says it must be Mincha, to which we're going to skip the next five words of Gemara. So Ela D'Mincha. So what do you think? It's Mincha? So Dinilash Mamine Didei Dachi. So it comes out that according to Rabbi Yossi, what Musaf will knock out is just itself, but it won't knock out anything else. Shmamina. So the Gemara says, fine. So you see that according to Rabbi Yossi, on a day where there's Musaf, so there won't be the additional Maima during Musaf. But listening now, Mibachad and Nisan, so the Gemara says, just we'll finish off with this. So why not include the first day of Nisan? Meaning, what were we looking for? Days where there was a confluence of events so that all the mamas got knocked out. The only day that the Mishnah pointed to was the first day of Teves. Because it's Rosh Chodesh, it's Hanukkah, and it's also a date in the Aseh HaMaracha. First day of Nisan, it's Rosh Chodesh, and it's also a date in the Aseh HaMaracha. So therefore, isn't that good? Meaning, what do I have on Rosh Chodesh? I have Hallel, I've got Musaf, and I got Aseh Maracha. So the Gemara says, "Well, how you b'mayma sheish v'halo b'kabam Musaf b'kabam Eitzim." Amarav is osameres halil of the breishach alav daraisa. So the Gemara says, conclusion: Halo on Rosh Chodesh is not halo, meaning the halo that we say on Chanukah. And interesting, Chanukah, which is a din derabbanan, which is a mitzvah derabbanan, but the halo we say on Chanukah, that's a halo. The halo that we say on Rosh Chodesh, less so. Okay, it's an awkward place to stop. We'll stop right here. Tomorrow we pick it up. Tomorrow, basic discussion about how to understand Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, what the nature of Hallel of Rosh Chodesh is. But for our purposes, what we end off with is that's why the first day of Nisan will not qualify as a day which we're going to be suspending all the Ma'amadas, because we won't be suspending all the Ma'amadas, because the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh Nisan is not a Hallel, if you will, not a formal Hallel. So that's why the only date where all the Ma'amadas are going to get suspended is going to be the first day of Teves, where I have bona fide Hallel, a Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, and it's also one of the Karban Eitzim dates. I can stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Okay.